I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus speaking, John 15:1. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, our verse of the night. Your homework, your memory verse, if you're into that kind of thing. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I know we were just praying, but I want you to bow your heads again. Prayer isn't a transition from worship to the guy that magically appears on the stage. This time I want you to pray. In the quietness of your own heart, I want you to ask God to speak to you tonight. Say, God, would you speak to me? Would you take away the distractions, my GPA not being good enough? Would you take away the distraction of loneliness? Would you just show me more of who you are tonight, Lord? Would you pray that? Lord, would you move tonight by your grace? I feel like tonight's undeserved. It wasn't expected. I didn't expect to be here. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified. Would your Holy Spirit move in our hearts tonight? Lord, would I abide in you? Apart from you, I can't do anything. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, I know you've already heard this tonight, but I have missed you guys so much. It has been a wild year of pruning. I don't know about you, but that's the way it's felt for me. Hasn't felt very good. But in light of that, I just want you to know that this night is special. This is the first time we're back in person. But something I've noticed, this was not in my notes or in my plan, but something I noticed in my own heart. As things slowly come back to like a little bit of normal, is that every time there's a little bit of something that comes back, it's just never enough. Like I remember football in the fall. It was like, we made it. This is amazing. Like we're there. We're going to watch a football game. It's like, well, it's just not the same. There's only 10,000 people. Y'all, there were only 10,000 people like 4 years ago at football games, okay? I worked them. I know, but it just wasn't enough. And even now, like it just, I'm like so utterly grateful and humbled, but there's like something deep within me that's just, it's, I'm thankful for it. I don't know if you have this like I do. But I'm thankful for it because I think it shows deep down I really was looking for something more in football games or other things so that when we get back to normal, the grass is still greener because there's still more grass in other places. And so I start with that as a confession. What a weird way to start the night after reading John 15, I know. But reading the word pruning just reminds me. And so let's start with a poll today. When deciding between Chick-fil-A and Cane's, by raise of hands and making a lot of noise. If you prefer Cane's over Chick-fil-A, please tell me. There we go. Okay. Awesome. Now, okay. I haven't even talked about Chick-fil-A. Now, if you are more of in the camp of Chick-fil-A, go ahead and make yourself known. Wow. Two people stood. Do y'all work for Chick-fil-A? What is this? It's the Lord's chicken, somebody yelled. First time I ever taught at a church. I started with a poll like that. Followed it up with some low-hanging fruit. It's the Lord's chicken, right? Cane's is only exists for Sundays, right? You know? Low-hanging fruit, right? All fun and games. Until I got an email. Little did I know the head of HR for Raising Cane's goes to this particular church that I was speaking at. My associate Chambers and I were delivered 40 chicken strips, courtesy of Raising Cane's. I have a t-shirt now. I have now spent the gift card. And there was a kind note sent by the head of HR for Raising Cane's. I start with that tonight because I was shook, truly. So much for the first time I ever spoke at that church, probably the last. But anyways, I remember thinking, like, I don't really care about what other people think. I'm going to start. I'm going to teach. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care if it might offend somebody about Cane's or Chick-fil-A. And some of that might be good. But what I really remember is, like, no, I'm going to do it my way. I had this spirit of, like, not caring about what I did impacting the way it, or not caring about what I did and the way it impacts others. I had this spirit of, like, no, I'm going to do it my way. And honestly, I lived a lot of that through college. And I was thinking about ways I could express this to you in the time that I lived at Penland. And I was like, man, a lot of those things, completely inappropriate. For example, one time we had a meeting, about 20 guys in a room. This is pre-COVID. This is like the Stone Ages, like a whole 10 years ago. We were in Penland, and all 20 of us were talking about different ways we were going to prank Penland, specifically our freshman class president, named Ben Prado. We call ourselves Men Against Prado. Anyways, this is beside the point. We opened the doors and there were three police officers and the hall director standing right outside listening to the entire conversation, and all of our names got taken down in case anything ever happened. So every exit sign was blamed on the Men Against Prado, right? And it was all just a joke. But anyways, these were the things where we're like, no, we're just going to do it our way. Like, this is what college is about. I'm going to do it my way. It's independence. And I want you to know that sometimes this attitude of independence can be really destructive. And so as we start vertical back, we're going to start a 5-week series of things that I believe we should cancel. We're going to call it cancel culture. You probably never heard of it, all right? And the first thing we're going to cancel is independence. This idea, no, I'm going to do it my way, which is kind of what college is all about, as I mentioned. But that's a lie that college students believe. You know, independent. Do you know what that means? Thank you. I appreciate that. We got to cancel the independence that just comes so naturally to us. I guess y'all really are young if y'all don't know that song. Y'all know that song? Oh my gosh. It spells independent. I'm going to do my own thing. And the lies that you're told is that following Jesus in college is lame. I'm going to do my own thing because I can't follow Jesus. That's lame. Like, there's no fun. That's what you've heard. Just remember John 8, that the devil is a liar. It's in his character. He's the father of lies. It's his soul. It's his identity. Don't listen to the lies. We're going to look to the truth in John 15 tonight. As I said, John 15:5. This is the verse for all of you. We're going to start very basically. And I know it's slightly offensive to some of you. It's like those things on the mirror in the bathroom. Have y'all noticed those things? They're like, this is how you wash your hands, courtesy of Baylor. I'm like, what? Everyone goes to school here. Like, we should understand how to wash our hands. And so it's slightly offensive. I get it. But then as I read it, it's like, oh, you turn the water off, or you turn the water on, and then you wet your hands, and you turn the water off, and then you soap your hands, and then you turn the water back on. I'm like, I didn't know there were all these rules to washing hands, right? And so I don't mean to offend you with the basics tonight. But I want you to know, it may feel basic. It's not. It's everything. What we're about to talk about tonight is maybe even my life, like, verse. And I think it's been all more important through the pandemic and even through a snowpocalypse. John 15:5 starts with this. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus is speaking. This is the cast of characters. Jesus is the vine. This is Jesus's final I am statement in the book of John. And to the Jews, this would have been really bold, okay? I know it doesn't seem bold to you when Jesus says, I am the vine. It would be like an American saying, like, I'm the true bald eagle. You'd be like, dude, you're weird. Like, you're just a little bit too much into America, right? That's what it would be like. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. And this is saying that Israel represented, or the symbol of Israel was a vine. And Jesus saying that he's the vine means he's the perfect and faithful Israel. Israel continues to turn away from God and was imperfect. So Jesus being the true vine is perfectly faithful through his life, his death, and his resurrection from the dead. This is the gospel. What he's saying is he's the only way. He's the true vine. He's the true Israel. And then it says, you are the branches. Who is you? Jesus' disciples. We'll even apply it to ourselves later. You see, Jesus is about to leave the scene. In about 12 to 24 hours, Jesus is going to be dead. These are his last words. He's leaving. He's about to bounce, but he's preparing them. Say, I'm the vine, you're the branches. All right. The disciples are branches, you and I are branches. This is what a branch looks like. Y'all ever seen one of these? You know where I took this from? Right there. Right over there. This one's just struggling. All right. Anyways, sorry. This is a branch. If Christ is the vine, then you must be connected to that tree. We'll pretend like that's a vine. Christ is the vine and you're just a branch. You have to be connected to him to function. This brings me to my first very simple point of the night. For those that like 3 points, this is your first. Christ is the source of life. Christ is the source of life. That's what we see in I am the vine and you are the branches. Let's go to this next sentence. I think this is really important for us. And I think we've missed some of these things. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Let's sit on the word whoever. Whoever. Really, whoever abides in him, he will abide in them. That means no matter if you're rich or if you're poor, no matter if you feel like you're ugly or feel like you're beautiful, no matter if you're have no social media or you have thousands of followers on social media, no matter what internship you have this summer, no matter what organization you're in, no matter what relationship status you have, none of that matters. Because you see, whoever abides in Jesus, you don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to be a particular race. Whoever abides in Jesus and he in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Whoever abides can be used by God. You see, God has used murderers. See David. God can use somebody that sold his brother into slavery. See Judah. God can use even people with sexual sin. See Rahab. And these are all just to bring about the true vine. This is the lineage found in Matthew of Jesus. But I want to stop here. And the reason why I highlight the word whoever is because I want to just give you an apology. On behalf of the church, I'm not a church. Vertical isn't a church. It's a supplement, not a substitute. But here's the deal. On behalf of ministries and churches, I'm sorry for making you think that you have to be good-looking, athletic, and be Tim Tebow to be used by God. You don't have to wear black on a stage. You don't have to wear certain things. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to have a certain following. You don't have to do anything. Whoever abides can be used by God. That's it. That's all it takes. And honestly, I'm sorry. Like, I've been a part of the problem. I've brought Bryce Petty, former Baylor quarterback, I've brought him to Vertical to speak to the dudes. Why? Because I want to bring more dudes. I want them to hear about the God. I want to hear about good things. You know what about Bryce? He's about 6'12". He played in the NFL. He's beautiful. He's got a beautiful wife. I'm part of the problem. But maybe I can help you understand that it's true because I'm bald, right? Amen. But I feel this pressure. Somebody gave me cool shoes. I got to wear the cool shoes. Somebody told me that once that it's better for the camera that I wear black. So now I always wear black, right? I feel the same pressure. But whoever abides in him can be used by him. This word abide, let's look at the next phrase. Abides in me and I in him. Abide. What the crud does that mean, right? We're like, that's like, if I-N-D-E-P-E-N-T was behind, right? Then the word abide is from like the first century, right? What does it mean? It means to remain, to continue, to stay connected. We remain in relationship to Christ. We're meant to remain and relate to Christ, and he will relate to us. This is why you may have heard it said that Christianity isn't a religion. It's not about what you do and do and do or don't do, right? Don't do. This is why you've heard it said that Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. Because you can be really moral and have every Christian value that the Bible teaches. And you may even know the Bible better than anyone here. You may have gotten an A in Christian scriptures. I didn't. You can have all those things and not truly be in relationship with Jesus. To stay connected to Jesus. To be connected to Jesus. Y'all ever been to the mall? Yes, you have. Okay, I'll answer that question for you. You ever seen when those parents have their kids on leashes and they're like being dragged by their kids? It's like the new cool thing. I know we got a dog on a leash over here, but it's even better when you see a kid on a leash. You're like, that's amazing, first of all. Whoever invented that, genius. But also like, at what point is that wrong, right? Like when we grow up as parents, you think we'll be doing the same stuff? Because that's one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure if that's going to last. But TBD, we'll see. Anyways, that's what it means to abide, right? It's like the parent always is connected to the kid. They're just like walking it like it's a dog, right? But it's people, which is why it's a better illustration, right? It's two people connected to each other. But I mean, the kid should turn around and be connected to the parent, but you get the point, right? This is what it looks like to abide, to stay connected to Jesus. is everywhere you go. You're just walking and ding, oh, whoa, I'm getting away from Jesus. The leash pulled me back. And it's not in a bad way, because some of you actually do think Jesus has you on a leash and he's keeping you from fun. But he's not. Life is found in abiding in him. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But I'm afraid that we've minimized Christianity to having a set of values or morality or something like that, or even just saying a prayer and raising your hand and then carrying on with life and not being as bad as somebody else that lives down the hall from you or down the street from you. See, that's not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus of constantly being connected to him. It's a daily dying to ourselves and following him. Daily dying to ourselves and giving up our lives. Christianity is not evidenced by a prayer and a hand raise. It's evidence in our abiding and in our continuing. And I just want you to know that connection to Jesus is the only way to the Father. Like, this is the gospel. Abiding is the gospel daily. But the gospel is that we were separated from God because God's really holy and we've fallen short of his glory. And so because we're disconnected, what we need is for something to reconnect us. And so God sent his one and only son. He lived the life we couldn't, died the death we deserved, rose from the dead so that he might stand in between. And so that we, upon believing and confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we, being separated from God, might be restored and reconnected as a branch who was dead. We can find life by being connected to the true vine. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday connection. Stay connected, remain, continue. That's what the word abide means. The last phrase that we see here, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. My note takers, point two, whoever abides bears fruit. What is fruit? Let's just define that for a second. Fruit is obedience. It's following Jesus, yes. But I want to focus on two primary fruits really quickly. The first fruit comes from the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. What's in us should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And usually I miss one. I think I got it right that time. I want you to pause. Fruit is all those things I just said. Let's look at what the world needs right now. Could the world use somebody to love someone? Yeah. Could the world, especially Texans, could we use a little bit of joy right now? Yeah. Amidst the chaos and anxiety, could the world use a little bit of peace right now? So the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit that comes from being connected to the vine, are things that the world desperately needs. And they need to see it in you. That's the first fruit. The second, we're going to mix metaphors here. I'm warning you, okay? But you're college students, you can handle this. The second fruit is fruit has seeds. But you see, seeds die and reproduce. This comes from John 12. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And so part of bearing fruit is that we must die to ourselves in order to reproduce fruit. So that means we must give up our life, our time, our social life, our sleep, in order to multiply. Freshman, if you're here and you're a freshman, I wish I could grab myself as a freshman. Freshman frat Dale and just shake him. And be like, Dale, do not waste all 4 years winning Sing and intramurals and Float, which you had nothing to do with. It's okay to be involved in those things, but don't waste your life on it. Use those things to love and care. Use those things to disciple. Use the organization or the major that you're in or the group project that you're in to further the kingdom. Die to yourself and reproduce. Fruit must die in the ground before it can grow and reproduce itself. And some of us, we're starting to look more like Jesus. We're starting to abide in Jesus. We're starting to really understand what it looks like to abide, but we're just not willing to continue to die. And that's where the multiplication of 30, 60, 100-fold comes from. And so I have a question for you tonight. Are you bearing fruit? Whether it's the fruit of the Spirit or reproducing disciples. And if you aren't bearing fruit, are you abiding? If you're not bearing fruit, then you might not be abiding. And are you daily in relationship with Jesus? Let's just pause for a second. If you are abiding in Jesus and you're not bearing fruit, there is one other possibility, and it's that you're being pruned. It's like the whole pandemic for me. Be patient. One, when God prunes, he's near. Think about the image. If the Father is the vine dresser and he's pruning, that means he's near. And two, he's pruning us so that we may bear more fruit. It's for our good. If you're abiding, you're being faithful, you're dying to yourself, you're discipling, you're doing all these things and you just don't see it. He's pruning you. But many of us, we aren't bearing fruit because we're connected to false vines. We're looking for life in other places. We're connected to the world. We have worldly success, and we think that means we're doing good. Worldly success is not an indication of fruit. In fact, one day when you get a job and you're making tons of money, riches and favor in business does not mean that you're abiding. Honestly, a 4.0 doesn't necessarily mean that you're abiding. Having a following in fame doesn't mean you're abiding or bearing fruit. It means you're famous. That's it. You know how many followers on social media Elizabeth Elliot had? What about Billy Graham? Francis Chan? Nabil Qureshi? Amy Carmichael? Paul? Timothy? Right? You get my point. He had none. You see, I think that we think the worldly success is fruit. And I'm afraid some of us are settling for this life of this. This is some of us. You look good all the time. People love you. You're so popular. It's amazing. All the time you look like this. You know what this is? Fake. It's from Magnolia. I think. I stole it from my roommates. They both used to work there. So anyways, it's fake. You see, branches are pretty ugly. They have these things in them, these knots where they've been pruned. True branches are strong, though, because they grow over time. But this is what some of us are settling for. We come to Baylor. We look the part. We're not that bad. And this is it. there's so much more to life than this. Real branches get pruned. They don't always look good. They have awkward growing phases. They require patience. Fake fruit. This school loves it. This city loves it. You don't have to fake it. Along the same lines, I want you to know that fruit takes time. Fruit takes a lot of time. We want Amazon Prime fruit. It's not possible. God wants from us long obedience in the same direction. So first, we saw Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Christ is our source of life. Second, we saw that whoever abides in Jesus and Jesus in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So whoever abides, absolutely whoever abides, bears fruit. Last point tonight is this last phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing. My last point for you is that apart from Jesus Christ, you and I can do nothing. Honestly, we don't always believe this is true. Some of you are here, you're like, I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not a Christian, and I'm doing plenty apart from him. You're right. Honestly, I'm sure somebody absolutely crushed it when they put all their money into GameStop a couple weeks ago. I'm sure some pagan or heathen made millions off of the crazy market, right? Like, we know plenty of CEOs that are awful, awful people. So how could those that are apart from Christ do nothing? You can't bear fruit apart from Jesus. Fruit is what's really significant in this life. Fruit is what lasts. Fruit is what matters in eternity. Fruit is even all that matters here. There are some really, really poor people that we have never heard of that are incredibly faithful in bringing God's kingdom to this earth. And they understand that apart from Jesus, apart from Christ, they can do nothing. We cannot bear fruit apart from him. We cannot have significance or eternal impact. We can do nothing. And so, as I started the night, we need to cancel our independence and I'ma do me. I'ma do what I want, my way. I'm gonna date, but I'ma do it the way I wanna date. I'm gonna be a student. I'm gonna honor God, but I'm cool with cheating every once in a while. Nobody needs to know. Everyone in my whole sorority has these tests. Too often, we settle for this. And so I'm encouraging you and challenging you to cancel your independence, because dependence on Christ is the only place that we can find life and significance and be impactful. And so, full circle, our independence is killing us. It didn't really hurt me that I said that Chick-fil-A is God's chicken. But I didn't think of who it was hurting. In our case, our own independence, it's hurting ourselves. It's keeping us from fullness of life. I promise you, it's keeping you from experiencing the best 4 years or 6 years of your life here in college. And so we must be dependent on Christ. We must abide in him for our own good and also for the good of everyone on this campus. And so What do we do about this now? First of all, we must start a relationship with Jesus. Some of us aren't connected to the vine, but we look really good. It's about relationship, not religion, as I mentioned earlier. So we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and will be saved. And then we continue in that. And continue in relationship with Jesus. Prayer is easily one of the best indications of abiding. So if you haven't been praying recently, you probably haven't been abiding recently. If you haven't been abiding recently, then you haven't been fruitful recently. Constant prayer leads to lasting fruit. God's way is a way for us to relate to Jesus. So we spend time with his word. That's part of how we spend time with Jesus, through prayer and through time in his word. These are all things that keep us as branches connected to the vine, whether it's prayer or spending time in God's word. You see, these things are spiritual disciplines. Prayer, spending time in God's word, being connected to the local body of Christ, being in community. Those things are what keep us up and keep us connected. You see, this branch probably wouldn't have fallen. One, if it hadn't have snowed last week. But two, if it had been connected. And if it had a support system to keep it up, to keep the branch connected to the vine. That's how we abide. And so that's how we apply tonight. Last two things. I've missed you guys, so I'm talking for a while. I won't usually talk this long. But first, thank goodness we have a God who wants to be connected to us. Are you kidding? This is the same God. When people in the Old Testament see him, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't even see. They're blinded. Paul couldn't see for days. This God, this very God that created the heavens and the earth wants to relate to us because he loves us and he created a way for us to relate to him through his son Jesus. This is insane that we have a God who is this loving and this amazing. This is the good news of the gospel, that we get to live in relationship with God each and every day, and we get to abide in him. And he gets to change our hearts to look more like him so that others around us may see and they too might believe and experience the love that God has for his people. Thank goodness for this love. But lastly, some of us don't want to give up our independence. One of the things that's required to abiding is recognizing that apart from him, we can't do anything. We deserve death, and we can't find life or significance on this earth apart from Christ Jesus. And so it requires a humility. And I actually heard a story of a college student in the 1940s who was on a tour. He was studying abroad and he was going through John Wesley's house. And in John Wesley's house, there were these two notches where John Wesley would kneel every day. And when John Wesley died, they came and they showed this house like, oh, here's all that John Wesley did. And here are these two notches in the wood. You can literally see where he would come and he would kneel. And this group of college students are on this tour and they go through and the professor notices that they don't know where one of the people went. They're like, we're missing one. Where is he? And this professor comes back in and he stumbles on a young college student on his knees begging, Lord, do it again, just like this. Lord, do it again, do it again. You see, this young college student had the humility to realize that he had no power in and of himself, and that he needed God to use him. He was begging for God to do it again. In the 1940s, a young Billy Graham had the humility to recognize that he was absolutely nothing, apart from Christ Jesus, and that God, being rich in mercy and steadfast love, was worthy to look for life in through Jesus Christ. And so I really think we ought to cancel independence, but I honestly believe it's going to require your humility. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would give us humility. Thank you for loving us when we don't deserve to be loved. Our sin, we don't deserve to be in your presence because of the way that we've fallen short of your glory. But thank you for providing a way through your son, Jesus. We give you praise and glory for the way that you've shown your love for us by sending your one and only son to die for us. But Lord, I pray a blessing over these students. I start with something basic tonight, but if we miss this, we'll miss everything. This is the gospel, daily lived out in abiding in you. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over these students. Would they learn in these next few days, and even in all their years here in Waco, would they learn how to abide in you? Would they learn what it really looks like to turn to you, to depend on you? Would they not depend on their independence, which just leads them to drifting and anxiety and loneliness? Would they depend on you through prayer and through your word and through your people being connected to the local church? And Lord, lastly, I just pray for every student out here's humility, willingness to give up their independence and die to themselves, just as you died for us. We follow you. We get out of the way and we let you use us, Lord. I pray you would use these students to bring revival like you did in a young Billy Graham. Would you give these students the humility? Would you even give me the humility, our worship leaders, our team, everyone here, Lord? Would you give us the humility to be used by you? Most of all, God, we give you thanks for the love that you have for us and that you've shown us. I'm overcome and I'm grateful. I pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.